Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And again, a reminder that among the things on our politics website, It's a Free Country, we have various perspectives from various bloggers, one of which we will speak to in a few minutes, who comes originally from Tucson. We also have a fact box. So if you're still catching up on what the facts of this story are and you're hearing a lot of opinion and not that many facts, you can use itsafreecountry.org to just catch up on what we know and also what we don't know. And we have a poll question up there for you, a thoroughly unscientific poll, as usual, where you can say whether you think the Sarah Palin crosshairs map is beyond the pale in political rhetoric, and you can see a link to the map itself. So go to itsfreecountry.org, our politics website, for all of that. We also will do a live online chat there right after the show at 12 o'clock noon. Right now, in Governor Cuomo's prepared remarks for the State of the State address last week, he singled out Brooklyn Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries and the law that Jeffries authored that would increase the supply of affordable housing. Jeffries, who represents Bedford-Stuyvesant, Clinton Hill, Fort Greene, Crown Heights, has been on a show several times in the past couple of years talking about this bill that would take vacant and stalled residential developments built during the housing boom and transform them into affordable housing. He's here to tell us how it's going and what he expects for affordable housing in New York under the new state administration. So, Assemblyman Jeffries, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Governor Cuomo says his administration will vigorously use the law that you authored. So why don't you remind our listeners what this new law is supposed to do to help create more affordable housing?
Well, Governor Patterson signed into law in July of 2010 a bill that had been sponsored by myself and Senator Montgomery that would give the state mortgage insurance fund the ability to totally insure loans that are refinanced from failed market rate or luxury condominium developments into affordable housing. In order to incentivize either developers or, in most instances, banks or financial institutions to do the refinancing that is necessary to turn a project from a market rate project into one with significant affordable housing.
How many units are we talking about here in the city?
Well, in the unit in the city, unfortunately, neither the state nor the city actually keeps numbers on the amount of units that fall into this category. I've done an informal survey just in the Assembly District that I represent alone, and there are more than 1,000 units that are failed luxury market rate type developments. There have been some not-for-profit organizations that have done similar studies in other parts of the city, like Harlem or Williamsburg. And so the number seems to be at least in excess of 5,000 overall.
Have any developers taken you up on your offer?
Well, I had a briefing in December by the State Mortgage Insurance Fund, as well as Commissioner Brian Lawler, who heads the State Housing Agency. And they indicated to me that at least two deals had been completed, one in Williamsburg and one in Crown Heights, neither in the communities that I represent, but the law, of course, applies globally to the city and the state of New York. We are in a race against time, unfortunately, because as the market begins to turn around or at least show signs of recovery, there are going to be some developers who are going to want to hold on to the pipe dream that originally accompanied their market rate approach, hope the market returns, and then take advantage of the inflated prices. We have to be as aggressive as possible in targeting some of these failed developments so we can get some affordable housing.
So do you need to sweeten the deal for developers?
Well, I actually think that in many instances, this will be less about developers and more about banks. There are two categories. You have the developers who have the financial wherewithal to hold on in difficult times, and those strong developers will, in all likelihood, either convert what was intended to be condominiums into short-term rentals, wait for the market to recover. That's a category that's going to be difficult to incentivize. But there are many other developments that are actually in foreclosure, clear signs of financial distress, where banks are in the process of recovering those properties. And in that instance, both utilizing the law that has been passed, as well as basically having a frank conversation, Brian, with these banks to say, we bailed you out. In many instances, you use hundreds of millions of dollars of state operating money as depositories, either state depositories or city depositories. Our pension funds invest hundreds of millions of dollars in your Wall Street arms in many instances. We just don't want to be in a one-way abusive relationship. And there's got to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And Governor Cuomo has at least indicated that his banking department will be far more aggressive in dealing with financial institutions and their mutual responsibilities.
So if I'm a developer, I'm going to say the government has no place telling me that I should take my market rate housing and rent it or sell it for less than I can get for it on the market.
Well, which is why we have to target the buildings that are in clear financial distress. And we've used, you know, two areas to indicate whether there's financial distress. One, if the building is being foreclosed upon, clearly it was a failed project and the bank is in the process of seizing it, and we can have that conversation with the bank. In other instances, even prior to foreclosure, you can tell based on the filing of mechanics liens, for instance, that some payments to contractors have been missed, which is an indication of financial distress. And so there is some leverage to have this conversation. And the thing about the law is that it does provide the benefit of government-backed insurance so that it minimizes the risk in exchange for affordable housing.
Before you go, what's your opinion of Governor Cuomo's property tax cap proposal at 2% increase a year? I think this is less relevant to New York City than it is to a lot of the rest of the state, because New York City does not fund its public schools through the property tax, rather through the general fund. But do you have an opinion on this?
Well, absolutely. You know, as it's proposed, it in fact would not apply to the five boroughs of the city of New York. It would only apply to the suburbs as well as parts of upstate New York. I do recognize there's a clear need for property tax relief in other parts of the state so that New Yorkers, particularly working families and middle class folks, can remain in their homes. But we also have to deal with the issue comprehensively. There's an affordable housing crisis in the city of New York. And so we as a legislature can't be asked simply to provide property tax relief for some homeowners in other parts of New York State without dealing with the affordable housing crisis here in the city.
So are you proposing that you would support a tax cap and you would like to see other city legislators only support a tax cap if there are stronger rent regulations?
Well, I think that stronger rent regulations clearly have to be part of the equation in any property tax cap or property tax relief discussion.
Horse trading.
Well, I think it's democracy. And at the end of the day, we as city legislators can't be asked to do for others if the legislature is not willing to do for those people we represent who are struggling to find affordable housing.
State Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries of Brooklyn, thank you very much. It's going to be very interesting to see how Governor Cuomo applies your new law and works with you on other affordable housing questions. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll come back in a minute with It's a Free Country blogger Rodolfo de la Garza, originally from Tucson, on why he's not surprised that the shooting over the weekend happened there. Stay with us.